Oh, great sound, great sound, great sound. You know, we've all experienced many times where events have taken a turn that we didn't expect, right? And often the outcome of that turn is not what we wanted. It's unexpected. I was talking to my son, who was in ministry in Oxford, and he was reminding me of a time when he was going to university here in Hamburg, and he was all excited about a trip with his best friend to Turkey for several days. And they planned it, they got on the plane, and they came into Turkey there, wherever, Bodrum, I think it's called, and at the airport they said, "Hey, something's wrong with your passport. In fact, it's out of date." Out of date. And so they took him into a room, and he said that they basically interviewed him for about 20 minutes. He felt like a criminal. And they put him on the next plane back to Germany. Think of that. He got to Germany. It was Frankfurt. It wasn't Hamburg. He had to take a train all night. Had to wait several days to renew his passport. And then he got back. It's a long story. He had to travel all night because the place he wanted to go to, he couldn't get a flight. Und so weiter und so fort, as they say, right? Things take twists and turns, don't they, in life? And often, it's a bit more dramatic. For example, what happens when you're going along so happily in your job and you find out that you are going to lose that job? Huh. Or you're doing well physically and all of a sudden you find out that you have something and you have a sickness that is very, very serious. Many things happen that way, right? Or your exam, you expected to pass this time, your third opportunity, and you don't pass. And life takes a twist, a turn for the worse, so to speak. I think we all understand that, don't we? And when this happens, we have a problem with our perspective with God. Let's put up the first slide, please, okay? We feel like we're in the midst of the fire, and our faith is put to the test. Our perspective is really difficult to keep. And our faith begins to falter. Maybe doesn't remain firm. In fact, the name of this message, the full name is this: Firm, Not Faltering, Faith Under Fire. An appropriate message because here there is no one who hasn't experienced or isn't experiencing right now their faith under fire. And you know, we see in Daniel chapters 1 through 3 a wonderful story of three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? In fact, we have an Abednego in this church. Did you know that? A distant relative. Yeah, right. And we see that although they face a terrible situation, a worst case scenario, they remain firm in their faith. And you know, that's the kind of faith I want. I want a faith that despite what can happen, the twists or the turns in life, and whatever the outcome is, I want a faith that's firm. Do you want that kind of faith? Tell me amen.
Amen.
Otherwise, I won't preach. All right, yeah, we want that. Of course we want that faith, right? And so I want to look at these passages. We're not going to read the whole chapters, right? But we want to see what we can learn from these young men that can help us persevere, or as the title of the message says, to be firm and not to falter when our faith is under fire. So I've drawn three important lessons from the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The first one is, let's go back one, please. Can you back one square? Whoop, no, one, still one? Yeah. Circumstances test our faith. And all the people said, amen, right? Yes, sir, of course, yeah. Okay. Let's look at chapter 1. Chapter 1, here we find Mr. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He was the greatest king of his day in the greatest city of his day, right? It was a wonderful place. And he loved to conquer other nations. And so he came once to Judah, conquered Jerusalem, and he took the cream of Jewish society back to serve in his court. Notice what it says here. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning. No pickle, no pimples, German, no pickles, no pimples, no blotches, right, intelligent, you know, like maybe, Neville, Welbeck, you know, that line, but more or less like that, right, yeah, right, good. And so they're to go and they are to learn, to be instructed in all the knowledge of Babylon. This is what you call forced integration. Maybe not such a good idea, right? Then we come to chapter 2, okay? And in chapter 2, the king has a dream. Now, you know this story, right? He has a dream he can't interpret. Nobody else can either. And then Daniel interprets the dream. And you know something? In this dream, let's see the next slide here. Okay, we see a dream of four medals of a statue. We're not going to go into this. But the only point I wanted to mention here is that the gold head is actually represents Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, we'll see that in a moment, why that's important. Only Daniel can interpret the dream, right? And so what happens? Let's go to the next slide. He is rewarded. Then the king ordered Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon. Wow. Now, Daniel didn't want his good friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be left out in the cold. And so he worked with, you know, put pressure on there so that they would also become important in the administrative matters of the kingdom. And so we read in verse 49, "Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon." Ha! Everything's going great! You know, the sun is shining, the wind is blowing so nicely. But that's not for long. Let's go to chapter 3. Now, here we see a golden statue that that King Nebuchadnezzar builds. Now, remember that in the dream, Daniel had said, "You, O king, are the golden head." So he thought, man, if I'm just the head, let's be the whole bod, right? Let's be the whole body. And so he makes a statue, and there he makes it and makes everybody worship it. Notice here what it says. The next slide. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high, about 27 meters high, and 9 feet wide, say 3 meters wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, we don't know exactly what that was like, but it could have been a column. Let's go to the next slide with, on the top, a statue. Where is this, folks? Berlin. Okay. All right. That's just an example, right? But let's go to the next. So it would look like the next slide, maybe something like that, right? Okay. But, or it could have been like the next slide, just simply a great big statue of gold, all right? Now, whenever people heard different types of instruments, they were supposed to bow down and worship the king. And of course, he was an absolute monarch, and so the people had to do it. Or, right, goodbye, cruel world. Except, what? Daniel? Shadrach? Meshach and Abednego. In fact, look at those three men standing up there. That's a picture from that time, I think. Yeah, right. And they refused to bow down and worship this statue. And of course, the king didn't like this, right? And so we see in the next verse, furious with rage. No one ever said no to the king. Nobody. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he asked, "Is it true that you do not worship the image of gold I have set up?" And it goes on, "If you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blaze of fire." Well, the faith of these men is really put to the test right now, okay? They knew there was no option. And so I think, you know, this reminds us that God allows circumstances to test our faith. Trials come from God. He permits them. And as Peter says, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:7, he says that trials have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. God allows trials to test our faith. And that's what's happening with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, how do they react to this life-threatening situation? How would you react? Come on, let's be honest, right? We say in Spanish, "Estoy hecho un flan," which means I'm like a little vanilla pudding, right? Shaky, shaky, wobbly, wobbly, right? Firm in the Lord, right? I mean, I've got to admit, I think I would be afraid if something like that happened, right? But how do these young men then react to this? Well, notice the next verse. They said, this is incredible. They stand up to this almighty king and they say, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Not quite, right? But almost, right? If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. But if he does not, well, we will not. We will still not worship the image of gold. Wow, amen. Yeah, this is amazing. These were just young people who were willing to put their lives on the line for God. How do they do this? How could just young people do this? Well, I think we want to learn, don't we, how they did it. And so we're going to go to the second point, which is going to give us some guidelines in this. Let's go to the second major point, right? The first was that circumstances test our faith. Secondly, solid faith, or a solid faith, is built on a solid foundation. If you want to have a solid faith when the trials come, you need to have your feet planted on a solid foundation, okay? And that was the case of these young men. And what does that look like? Well, a careful look at the lives, and I read the script because they're translating according to the script. Otherwise, I get excited and go off someplace. So I come back, where am I? Thank you. Okay, here we go.